A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests." The Gospel of the Lord. Evangelia dicta de leantur nostra delicta. And we'll be taking the Mass count again at this Mass. You know, we do the first two weekends. Not the first, well, so Sunday was October, but Saturday was September this year. So we're actually doing the last week this. We did it in this week in all the parishes of the diocese. And I see our trusty ushers are preparing to come forward and start counting. Well, we have a very interesting parable to consider this morning from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. And the events of this parable are completely in accordance with normal Jewish customs at that time. You know, if there was a great feast, like a wedding feast, invitations were sent out, but there was no time stated on the invitation, they say, because everything wasn't ready for the feast yet. That's how they did it. And then when everything was ready, then the person who was hosting this feast would send out his servants to then summon all the guests to come. It's ready now, so come on, come to the feast. And so, what is the meaning here in this parable of Jesus talking to scribes and Pharisees? Well, the thing is this. The king, who long ago sent out those invitations, but it wasn't until everything was ready that the summons was issued, was insultingly refused by the people he invited. They didn't accept the invitation. They thought they had better things to do, I guess. And so there's kind of two things we gather from all of this. The invited guests who, when the time came, refused to come, represent the Jewish people who centuries before Christ had been invited by God to be his chosen people among all people. Yet when God's Son did come into the world, the promised Messiah, for centuries promised Messiah, and they were invited to follow him, most of them refused. No, not all. Remember, Jesus was Jewish. Joseph and Mary were Jewish. All of the apostles, the first apostles, were Jewish. The result was that the invitation to God then went out directly to the highways and byways, meaning to anybody. It would be non-Jews. It would be Gentiles, non-Jewish people that invitation went out to. And they, interestingly, never expected an invitation into the kingdom of God, but that was God's plan. And secondly, it reminds us that this invitation of God is to a feast, as joyous as a wedding feast. His invitation, in other words, to us, is joyful. You know, I guess some people think that Christianity is kind of a gloomy religion and takes away anything that brings happiness or laughter or enjoyment into our life. It's just the opposite. The very essence of Christianity is built on joy sharing God's joy, the joy that only God can give us. And the thing is this, we're invited to this type of life, but if we refuse to follow it, then we're missing out on a lot of joy that we could have by refusing that invitation. Because this parable reminds us that the things that make people deaf to the invitation of Christ aren't necessarily bad in themselves. I mean, the people that went off, they were doing worthy things. They were officially administering their businesses or their life, whatever they were doing. But you know, it's easy for someone to get all wrapped up and busy in their job, in their occupation, and forget the things of eternity, because they're so occupied with the things of happening right now. To be preoccupied with the things that they see, but forget the things that are unseen. Very real, but unseen. They hear the noise of the world, but they cannot hear the soft invitation that Christ places within our hearts to follow him. You know, it was about 30 years ago already at another parish I was at. There was a man, he was one of the ushers, he was in his 60s, and he owned a deli around the corner from the church on St. Clair Avenue. And he stopped me after I was at the parish a few months to introduce himself. And he says, "You know, Father, I've just been doing this for about 2 years. I says, "You mean what?" And he says, "Well, I hadn't been to church since I was in high school. But a little over 2 years ago, something came over me, and I started reading the Bible. And after I read the Bible for a few months, every day, I was thinking, you know, I should go back to church and start living what I'm reading about. And so I came back to church. And I wanted to help, not just sit in the pew, but help. And so I volunteered to be an usher, and I just love it. I couldn't be happier. I look forward to getting away from my store every Saturday afternoon so I can come to church." And I said, "Wow, well, that's really great to hear." And you know, it wasn't a year later that he died of a heart attack while he was at work. Not on a Saturday afternoon, because he would have been in church. But that story really struck me of his life, because it shows how God is always putting promptings in our hearts to come and follow Jesus all the more, to increase our faith. And it doesn't matter if we're little children or if we're 60 years old and haven't been responding well, that is always there and we have the chance to respond. And so this parable also reminds us that this appeal of Christ isn't so much to consider how we're going to be punished if we don't follow him, but rather it shows us what we're going to miss out on in this world and in the life to come. But right now in this world too, we're going to miss out on an awful lot of joy and happiness that only Christ can bring us. Nothing of this world can, only he can. And that's the real tragedy of the wedding feast. They missed out on going to a really nice party, but that's what they chose. They refused the invitation. But it really reminds us of God's grace, the invitation to grace that God issues to each one of us. Those, you know, who were on the highways and byways, they had no claim on the king. They would never have expected an invitation from the king. Yet they did get an invitation out of the king's generous, abundantly loving heart to come to the feast. And they accepted it. Well, you know, next week we begin our 3 weeks of our annual stewardship renewal. And what a great gospel passage we have this morning to prepare ourselves for it, because we too will receive an invitation of grace through our stewardship renewal. We will be invited to renew our commitment and strengthen our commitment to follow Christ by making 1-year commitments to having a prayer life and praying each day, to make a one-year commitment to take part in parish ministries and organizations, to share our gifts with others, to make generous financial gifts, not because we need money or have bills to pay, that's secondary. Primarily, we do sacrificial giving of our finances, meaning we're giving back to God out of gratitude and thanksgiving for all that God has blessed us with financially and materially, as well as spiritually. And so it is a wonderful time to, and I pray that as we enter the 3 weeks of our annual renewal, that our hearts are open to the invitation of Christ to joy in following Him.